Love you. And we just ask today, God, that, Lord, the richness of who you are, Lord, will infiltrate this place, Lord, these words, this time today, God, you'd be glorified. And, Lord, our hearts would be encouraged and our faith, Lord, would be empowered, Lord, for your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We've been embarking upon a time of really looking at the Word of God for an understanding of God's perspective on something very simple called the testimony. Really, just for the sake of kind of starting off, last week, I just asked people spontaneously, tell me your favorite Bible story. The testimony, what God did in history. And then I said, now tell me one of the things that somebody else's testimony did to affect you. And several people had that. And I said, now tell me personally something that God has spoken to you that you can testify of that's happened. And rightly, many people had a lot of things to say. If we think about it, we all have, if you will, our favorite Bible story that speaks to us. You know, there's that situation or circumstance where God did something profound, and God, the entire, really, the annals of history, if you will, from the beginning of Bible narrative to the present, and even post-biblical, if you will, accounts are just nothing short of God's, a record of God's interaction with man. If history isn't bunch of random events with no intent or purpose. And we have to be careful that we don't look at history that way. We don't go, oh, just something happened, some guy named Hitler. You know, something happened, well, the Azusa Street. Well, something happened, well, you know, the Welsh Revival. Or something happened, well, Vietnam. And these are all just historical events in our life or the lives of someone we know that we think just sort of the random happenstances of God, of men's floundering around in the earth. And that's not at all what history is. History is the account of men's intention from God to bring him glory, men's inability to do that without him, and God's merciful, tender, methodical intervention to empower and reestablish man back into the original intent that he created them for. That is history. And you can see it and watch it and understand. And some of it, if we look at it in those little snapshots, it makes no sense to us. Why was this horrific act permitted? If God were good, you know the narrative, if the God that you speak of were real, why is there suffering? Why would these terrible things happen? But again, Scripture very clearly points out that God has set the stage for man to either see what he has done and respond in faith or respond in doubt, and by doing so, establish in their own mind, in their own realm, in their own household or neighborhood, how God is going to relate to them. I recently, some of you know, I've been, Andrew has been receiving treatments at Zion, Illinois, at the Cancer Treatment Center of America. And the city itself, Zion, Illinois, has this remarkable history that I knew a little bit of way back when. For years, I've kind of been a student of people who had miracles and supernatural things happen in their life because it's just always intrigued me. I don't think our need in the present day is to have perfect orthodoxy and accurate doctrine. Those things are, if you will, important, but all biblical account of history, all experiences or revelations from Scripture are meant to do one thing, point us into deeper relationship with the man Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the thing that all these are supposed to do, not point to other men, not point to a certain denomination, but to direct our affections and our pursuits towards Jesus. And so when I read the accounts of John Alexander Dowie, he's the man who founded Zion, I found some fascinating things out. First of all, you have to realize that there would be two distinct accounts of who this man was and what he did. Okay, one account will be from a worldly perspective, and one account will be from a kingdom perspective. Okay, and one account says this guy was a masterful was masterful in the art of deception. He was a brash and domineering leader. He didn't allow any doctors, any liquor, any pork, any a lot of things that would sound dogmatic and legalistic in the very town that he settled. Okay, it was Zion, Illinois. He was in Chicago, but and was known for a ministry. He was a Scottish man. He was, and so he was kind of this very bigger than life sort of personality. And he said he was a very eloquent speaker. But he was known for signs and wonders, specifically healings in his meetings. And he began to get persecuted legally because he set up houses of prayer and houses, healing houses throughout the city. And he began to get prosecuted legally for practicing medicine without a license. Okay, people were getting healed, and the earth didn't have a grid for what it looked like when somebody believed in Christ the healer. Now, there's all kinds of stories about what his ultimate demise was, because he set up the first, if you will, in the States, a first city that was a theocracy, at least proposed theocracy that I'm God's man, and we're going to do everything he says in this town, okay? The problem is he was a flawed human, and before long, things got out of whack, and eventually he went bankrupt. But the town itself had prosperity and industry because he bought 40 acres of lakefront property in northern Illinois, and he had a following because signs and wonders operated in his life, okay? By one account, he was one of the most prolific ministers with power in his ministries around the turn of the century, around 1900s. Some men and women that if you've ever heard of the Assemblies of God, which is a very powerful denomination, very well-known, some of their key foundational leaders received, if you will, their ministry training from this man. So he wasn't just, so to speak, a rogue dude. He had very much schooling and training. Men and women of faith, you know, from my generation and beyond, would recognize the name Gordon Lindsay or F.F. Bosworth. These were some people who were known to operate in powerful ministry, and these people received their ministry training from this guy, John Alexander Dowie. So for the sake of just giving an explanation, there were people who legitimately went on and did wonderful things who had been in relationship with this man and received, if you will, a measure of training and anointing that was validating of this guy's authenticity. Okay, now there's this whole other group of people who believe he's nothing but a crook, a criminal, and a charlatan, trying to, if you will, scam people. Okay, this is, if you will, the entirety of man's choice whenever God intervenes in the affairs of men. It's the same thing that happened to Jesus. The exact same. He's resurrected from the dead, and the political leaders of the day bribe, it's accounted in Scripture, to guards to lie about what happened, that somebody came and stole his body, because we're afraid of how the people are going to react if this man really did raise from the dead. Okay? Now, I say all that to say this. We have to always make a choice when somebody begins to tell of what God has done. And I'm confessing to you that way too oftentimes my first response has been, I don't think so, I doubt it, or that probably didn't happen. No amens. You guys know where I'm going. When somebody, you know, if Jude were to tell me, well, you know what, I'd probably believe you, to be honest with you, Jude, okay? I got somebody else that I, you know, if somebody comes, I probably would, just so you know, because you're not given to exaggeration. But most of the time when somebody says, you wouldn't believe what happened, okay, and your first one, yeah, I probably wouldn't, because I probably don't, okay? But God showed up this week in a profound way and did this, and you know, it's almost like if I'm in the mood, I'll go, okay, God really did that. But most of the time, the best I could come up with is kind of an indifference. Like, well, whatever, cool. And the problem with that is it's not at all the way God would have people respond to testimonies. It's not at all the intent of God, because God, Scripture, and we're going to look at more of this in the weeks to come, but I'm just kind of want to set the stage to understand that we could be missing out on one of the most powerful opportunities to be empowered by God in a simple format, okay? And that is when God authentically does something and we can receive it as something God has done, because God's intention is always, the Spirit has always been given to take which is the Father's and reveal it to us. And so when we see God's acts in the earth, instead of observing them like an audience going, oh, that's cool, what else is going to happen? We can actually allow those acts to lead us to the understanding of God's very nature and God's character. And so we can expect, when we see how God is moving on behalf of somebody, that, wow, he's good. And if he's good when he moved on my friend or my neighbor or this other believer, then I can expect him to be good on my behalf. And when we're expecting God to be moving on our behalf for our good, we'll be able to pray in faith. See, faith is the issue that God wants to have our hearts firmly established in. And most often, we drift back to what is feasible and likely in the natural and what is possible in the human side of things. And we serve a God who invades the impossible, and we serve a God who says nothing is impossible for him who believes. And so we have to understand that the warfare that we're involved in is a warfare to be able to believe that there is nothing impossible for this God who made us. And that becomes, if you will, like I said, the casualness of the way we receive the testimonies of God has to be shaken a little bit. We have to be able to stop for a moment and go, this is the God who loves me. See, why? When we think of testimonies, most of the time we think of somebody's story of how they got saved. You know, we had some other testimonies. I just love, you know, what you guys shared. I never knew you had shared, and Chris is a good friend of mine, but he shared something last week that was so powerful, a testimony that he heard over 25 years ago, I guess, and as he shared the testimony that he heard about, he heard a man talk about having a relationship with a woman that was pure and that honored God and that, you know, some profound things. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that testimony that you heard 25, 30 years ago, it has affected the next several decades of the way you've lived your life and the message that God has established in your heart. That is a powerful, you know, example of how the testimonies of God can affect us. They can affect us for decades, affect us for the rest of our life. And so, you know, as we pursue the understanding of testimony, I want us to enlarge, if you will, our expectation that we can begin to expect God to, so to speak, transcend our logic, because we have this option when we're not in faith to, so to speak, be regress back to the best we can hope for is what we can achieve, which are natural abilities. The best we can hope for is to do good works that we could do because we have some gifts. Now, gifts are from God, and that's fine, and good works are awesome. But let's be real, scripturally speaking, Jesus never trained seeing eye dogs for the blind. He healed the blind. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Jesus never established the homeless shelter to feed the poor. He multiplied the food and fed the poor. Okay? Now, I all the good works that men do, I'm saying that there's more if we'll allow ourselves to receive it. The gifts and talents that he gives us, if you will, are meant to be like a sail that catch the wind of his Spirit, and together they do more than what we could possibly do on our own with our gifts apart from him. And that's why giving ourselves to him and expecting him to take our little widow's mite, you know, our little few loaves and fishes, and go, only God could have taken that which I had, that I was wanting to steward for him, and instead of controlling it myself, fully giving it to him, only God could have multiplied it in that fashion. He gets the glory. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Are you stirring with something over there, brother? Come on. I no problem.
You know, I think that these, what you're saying about testimonies, is that when someone gets a rhema from the word of God, they read something, and then it speaks to their heart, and then they live it out, and then actually God does exactly what he says. Like Mary said, he said, hey, you're going to have a baby. Well, I don't know a man. I haven't known a man. Don't worry. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And she said, well, I'll receive it. Lord, let it be unto me according to thy word, right? Now, she couldn't make that happen, but she said, I'll receive that word. Thessalonians 2:13 says, because you did not believe this to be the word of man, but you believed it as being the word of God, therefore the word worked in you mightily, right? So when I look in my life, I go, wow, there was someone who got a word from the Lord and amazingly believed it, and then it came to pass in their life, and then they tell you this story, and you think, well, God's no respecter of persons. Maybe he'd do it for me. And then, because you wouldn't even believe it was possible if you didn't know this person and what happened in their life, right? So I would imagine that almost all of us at some point have gotten some kind of a word, and we believed in some way, and then it came to pass. And then he really wants us to give testimony to that. So there's so many things in my life that I would have never believed could happen, but there was somebody who said, this is God's way, this is what I believed, this is what God did. And it usually starts off with, well, I was doing it this way, it wasn't working. And so then I said, God, why isn't it working? And then he showed me something in his word. And then I said, well, I'm desperate, I believe it. They walked in faith and did it. And then it happens. And then we hear it, and we go, I would have never thought. You know, like Anne was gonna, she wanted to have a baby with no medication and at home. I never thought about that. It's gonna cost me more money to have a baby at home because my insurance won't pay for it. No, we're not doing that. We're gonna do this at the hospital. So we did the first three at the hospital, and she still said, I still believe we should do this. I go, this is really, you know, she says, Chris, for generations, that's how people did it. I go, this is crazy. And we did it at home. I go, wow, we're eating burritos right afterwards. This is awesome. and there's no doctor coming in or whatever. I'm like, so there's just so many things that I've watched people, but you got to keep getting yourself around these radical, crazy Christians who are really walking in truth and not doing it just because, well, I think it's true, but they really got a word of the Lord from it. And so I tell you, these testimonies that you're talking about, they make you want to do things that you wouldn't do otherwise because God shows up in people's lives. Amen. This is exciting. Amen. I mean, it's going to be exciting to see what God does here.
Amen. Well, that's exactly right. And so we want to have, if you will, our eyes peeled to see what God's doing. Now, there's a scripture that for years I actually taught from it. This is like we're going to be real, and I'm going to tell you stuff, and you're going to say you did that, and I'm going to say I really did that. Okay. But Revelation 19. In verse 10, John is confronting a heavenly being, and you know, he says that he falls at the feet to worship him, and he said to me, see to it that you do not do that. There's just like this emphatic, don't worship me. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. So it would bear logically that this is probably a saint that's gone on before him, okay, that he's talking to. And then he says, worship God. And this is the statement that just has, so to speak, been bouncing around in my spirit. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Who's ever heard that statement before? Just raise your hand. Everybody's heard this statement. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay? Now, I taught this, okay? I taught this in prophetic class a lot, in understanding a prophetic ministry for today and modern prophecy. But Does anybody want to take a stab as what does the statement, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy? Now, you don't have to respond if you feel moved. But when I looked at it, it was confusing just about forever for me. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Yeah. Right. Yes, yes. Everything in the Old Testament pointed towards the cross.
And now, in the testimony of Jesus afterwards, it points also to the cross, so it's prophetic. It does not necessarily have to outline the future to be the Word of God.
That's true. Absolutely. Pointing to the cross, pointing to the God's prophetic operation in history towards the cross. Okay. And I believe that to be, but I also believe there's layers of understanding that we've yet to perceive. And so I want to submit this to you. Today, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay, the first thing is testimony. A testimony is either a written or spoken account of something God has done. Okay, so the testimony of Jesus, when somebody speaks or testifies, or even, let's just say it this way, sings, because there's many songs, many hymns, many declarations that this is what the Lord has done. And as we testify of Jesus, we testify of how he has operated on behalf of another broken human like you or I, okay? Now, the testimony of Jesus, telling what Jesus has done in one form or fashion, is the spirit of prophecy, okay? Now, how about this? Because when we get together, and I've seen this, and so I want to say I've witnessed this firsthand, and I don't know how many of you have. You know, many of us have been raised in church and haven't necessarily been where somebody in the presence of many witnesses got healed right in the moment. How many has actually been in a meeting and somebody had something wrong and got prayed for and it got verifiably fixed, okay? About a third of the people in here, okay? Which is, that's probably what would be what I would expect. So about a third of the people, maybe half of the people, but then there's this other half of the people that go, I don't even know if that ever happens, and you know, I don't even know what I believe about that. In other words, we even become neutral or indifferent towards the possibility of expecting that to happen, all right? Now, again, I don't want to be religious, I just want to be real, okay? But I've been in meetings, personally, and seen where somebody said, they had a word of knowledge, they'd call it, or they had a feeling. I don't, you could, as I said, somebody, I need to pray for somebody, and they'll have, this is, say, a back issue. That's a pretty generic thing. They have my back is hurting. So let's pray for them, or somebody here has a back issue, we've said pray for them. And in moments when God heals that person, several other people either come up for prayer or get healed of the same issue in a moment. Okay, and again, I want to just raise hands. Have you seen something like that ever happen where one specific thing is sort of highlighted in the moment, but several other people get touched about the same thing in that moment? Again, if you've seen that again, okay, about a third or a half of the people. Okay, now, if we look at prophecy, just, I'm not going to give you the whole definition of prophecy, but I want to give you just a section of what prophecy entails, and that is something that can change the present or affect the future, foretell the future, okay? Okay? Because prophecy can be received, especially in a New Testament context, can be received or rejected. We either quench the spirit or we receive the spirit. And if the Lord were to reach out to you with a word from someone and say, if you make the, you know, God wants to bless you in this thing, but this decision you're making, you know, go ahead and go the direction you're going or however it might be. And you go, I don't want to do that. Well, guess what? That prophecy probably won't happen. Okay. But if you go, you know what, I was praying, and that's the answer that the Lord gave me, even though I'm fearful about it, I'm going to do it because, wow, the fact that the Lord would confirm such a thing to me in a time like this means it actually does see me. And so my faith has been bolstered. It's not like it's automatic. It's not like it's a slam dunk. It's simply, I'm going to respond to that prophetic word with an act of faith, and then when God moves on my behalf, I can go, wow, that's how it works. Yeah, that's how it works every time. In fear and trembling, you possess your soul. With a, I'm not 100% certain, but I'm of what's going to happen, but I'm 100% certain that God is good. And he can take my intention to obey him, even if I miss it, and turn it to the good a whole lot easier than he can my resistance to do anything because fear has locked me down. So I say that to say, how about the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, perhaps also entailing this reality, that when we testify, that we can actually be prophesying what else is available to all those who believe. What about if we testify of Jesus and what he did when somebody stood up and said, my neighbor just got healed of a tumor on his head. We're now prophesying anybody that's got tumors, the nature of God has just been revealed to you who he is, and he's no respecter of person. And if my heathen neighbor can get healed when I prayed for him, how much more so will he heal those who he calls sons and daughters? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That in a moment when I'm fearful, how many of us love it? I mean, you know, I don't mind saying this, and I hope you don't understand. I don't want to just point people out. But there are certain people in my life that I'll never reject a phone call from because they always encourage me. If there's any power. That doesn't mean if you've ever missed me on a call that I didn't. Okay. That's not what that means. Not them. No, there's certain people that I know they carry a word of encouragement, and their spirit prophesies encouragement to me every time I talk to them. And most of the time they call me when I'm not having the best of times. But you have that moment where, look, life is really sucking bad right now. I hate everything and everybody, and I am sure God has forgotten me. Andrea Danes is calling me. What does this mean, honey? Oh. Now, this possibility we have to begin to kind of, the truth of it is, even if the testimony of Jesus as a spirit of prophecy means that we can declare what God has done, we still have to have a response in faith. See, how many of us love a story when we're feeling down? I mean, be honest with you, I don't know anybody, if it comes to preachers, the preachers that are loved the most are the ones who tell good stories. I mean, that's one of the things I love about Pastor Dale. I can, you know, the guy, it's like he can tell stories for hours and I'll listen to all of them. Okay, why? Because they're full of incredible, miraculous things that God does. I'm going to tell you, Larry's the same way. Just when I listen to Larry, Larry's always, I'm going, oh my gosh, Larry, I have never heard so many ridiculous, bizarre connections. Only God could have provided what you just said. He tells the stories, and what happens is our faith goes, that's just Larry. If that happens to Larry, I'm sure I'm still okay with God in this. I know Larry. You know what I'm saying? It's like somebody who isn't elevated into super saint has just told me what God did on their behalf, and all of a sudden, their story has prophesied to my spirit that I'm still on God's side, he's still on my side, and I should not grow weary in expecting him to move. My present reality has just been re-energized with somebody else's prophetic testimony of Jesus, but also my future now has once again been affected because I went from doubting whether or not God was going to move on my behalf to expecting God to move on his behalf, on my behalf, because his nature has once again been confirmed to my heart. The goodness of God has once again been reestablished within me. And don't for a minute think that there's anybody who that reality is immovable, unshakable, and never needs to be re-upped, if you will. We all need to be re-upped all the time. Okay, and that's why we have to begin to declare over one another the goodness of God, the testimony of Jesus, the release of supernatural power in something so simple as what did God do for you today? Not just, and I don't have any, not just how did God speak to you in his word today, because that's awesome. We need the word of God to come alive to us, and we can share those rhemas. But I'm telling you, beyond that, How many, I mean, I don't even know, but just this room in this, how many of us would come back with a powerful testimony of God's divine supernatural intervention this week if we all just said, this week, God, every day, I'm going to look for one person to pray for and ask for you to intervene in their life. You highlight to me who that person is. It might be the elderly gentleman with a cane. It might be the guy on the street that says, we'll work for food. It might be the neighbor who seems to have everything or the worker that I work with who's always stressed out. I don't care who it is, but God, how many of it, one time a day, we would just say, God, I'm going to step out and test. I'm going to look for an opportunity to say, you know what happened to me? Because what will happen is you become personal with them. I see you're having a difficult time. What's going on with you? And they'll say, man, you don't understand. It's been a rough road, man. This happened and I lost that. And all of a sudden, there'll be a story of your own personal testimony or of somebody. You know, I knew somebody that had that issue. You wouldn't believe it, but 30 years ago, I was a drug dealer. And my wife was leaving me. And I loaded a gun and pointed it to my head because I was going to kill myself. And they go, look at you. And go, you? Yep, me. But a man named Jesus intervened. And just like he intervened in my life, he wants to intervene in your life. And I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm telling you, the worst decision you can make is to say no to this man, and the best decision you can make is to say yes to this man. And their hearts begin to stir with faith, and they go, look, man, the guy you see before you, there's oftentimes, I had some old pictures. I wish we want to become respectable, so the old hippie day pictures sort of get, relegated to some back drawer somewhere, and we never see them again, because we don't want to glory, if you will, in our sinful days. But I'm telling you what, we do want to glory how God could take a wretch like me and turn him into somebody who loves Jesus with all his heart and has a testimony of God's power day by day, week by week, operating. I wish I could find some of those old pictures, but my wife's sure that she's hid them where they'll never be found again. And I'm probably thankful for that. Okay, what has Jesus done? I guess the long and short of it today is that there's a vast resource in the heavenlies that we've yet to fully tap into. It was purchased for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Much like Joel shared with Obed in Nepal, the disciples, the apostles in that day, John says, that which we have seen, that's what we have heard, that we've touched, he's saying, look, I've got a testimony. These men and women were willing to die giving their testimonies because they realized, just like Paul said, we have to understand, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Wasn't just a random statement that would be accepted in society as just another statement of philosophy. This was a statement that could threaten his very life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to preach the testimony how I was Saul of Tarsus going after the elimination of Christians, and the man Jesus Christ intervened in my life, and now I became Paul, the apostle and bondservant of this man Jesus, who I formerly persecuted. And as he gave the testimony, the wisest and most educated of the day, as well as the poorest and most needy of the day, responded, could have an opportunity to respond and have the same, if you will, relationship with God that Paul had. And so I want us to be encouraged, and Rachel's going to share something here in a moment. I don't know what it is, but that's why she's here. I want us to begin to be willing to step out of our comfort zones to testify. I want us to be willing to start listening to, and we have to give ourselves to it. I tell you, when Bobby Hahn was here, Jacqueline invited her a while back, and the reason she was here, she was asking the Lord. She's got a son that's got cerebral palsy, and she's saying, Lord, I want a testimony. I'm looking up for testimonies of people who have been healed of cerebral palsy. I mean, that's what she said, I'm looking for. She goes online to see, is there anybody who's ever been, God has ever healed a cerebral palsy? And she has no idea that the very lady that has been healed of cerebral palsy that lives over in Springfield, Missouri, has been invited to preach at our church that morning. She sees this lady online. She shows up because Jacqueline was cutting her hair and invited her to come to church. And the very lady who's standing up or testifying how she was completely debilitated and showed pictures of her, you know, if you will, kind of deformed and on lockdown. They didn't know what to do with her. And she's standing up there with full faculty preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? There's something that we have to, just like this lady, she's pursuing that. I just think we need to not be casual about, let's begin to pursue. We can pursue the testimony, but look for what God has done in order for to be empowered for what God wants to do. I think that's where we need to begin positioning our hearts as we look into this. Hi, Rach.
Testify.
Okay. I have a testimony. Curtis one day told me that Carlene went up to him and said, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for your baby, I'm praying for finances. And I thought, oh, that's really sweet. No one has come up to me ever in my life and said, I'm praying for your baby and finances, like the element of finances. And I was like, oh, that's a true, really real element of having this baby, the financial part. And so I was just encouraged to that because I didn't ask Carlene to pray for that. Curtis didn't ask her. She, in her own will, I'm sure the Lord led her to do that, and she's been praying for that for our family. So I thought, oh, that's really awesome. And there are some, when you have a sitter, you have to pay for that if I work full time. And I did not have peace about that, the whole thing. And Curtis is like, God will work it out. God will come through. You know, it'll work out, whether he gets a raise or I get to stay home with the baby full time. I had zero peace about the whole situation. Fast forward to this week. My big executive director comes in from Michigan. The other one comes in from Chicago. And they, at 8 o'clock in the morning, say, we have to have a meeting with you. And I thought, oh, Lord. They're going to talk to me about my maternity leave and probably let me go because they're expanding and all this other stuff. Out of everyone that works there, I'm the one that's worked there the least. I've only been there the shortest amount of time. So I knew, I was like, I'm getting booted. I'm getting the boot. 12 weeks is too long to have maternity leave. They don't want to keep my position. They're growing. And so obviously I had no faith. And I go into the office and they said, we would just like to make you the face of our company. And I said, you would? And they said, yeah, 12 weeks from now, we don't know what it's going to look like, but we're going to give you a raise. We're going to give you a promotion. Is that okay with you? And I was like, what? I was like, you're going to what? And she goes, we just want to make you the face of Great Lakes Caring. And do you want to work full time or do you want to part time? And I'm like, are you kidding me? They're giving me every option. I can work 5 days on, 4 days off, 4 days on, 5 days on. They are creating a position, literally. Executive leadership team is creating a position that will fit right for my family. And they didn't have this position before. Out of all the companies, this is a big corporate company. They've never had this position, and they're creating it. And God just intervened, and he gave me a promotion, and and that was a word of knowledge. I never asked Carlene. Carlene, you didn't know that, but thank you so much for being praying for our family and those finances. That just blesses me so much because that's such a huge part of my journey. And I called my dad immediately. I'm like, I got to raise a promotion. I thought I was going to get fired. and so, yeah, that happened.
Yeah. Yay, God. All options are on the table when God is in. There's not a position for it. We'll just make a new one. You know, oh, there's not a cure for this. Well, he himself is our cure. Okay, everything, we don't have to be limited by what we see in the natural. We can expect the God of the supernatural who works on our behalf to intervene. And we're so thankful that he does. And we're expecting him to do it again and again. And regardless of whether we see it here and now or not, our confession continues to be, God is good. He is good. He's always good. And with that in our hearts, with that in our minds, stand with me if you will. And we're just going to pray and take a minute. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that the testimonies of God in the earth are that he's kind and he's merciful and he's ever seeking after man to reestablish relationship through the blood of his Son. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, that you have allowed us in this time, Lord, to receive the testimonies from your word, God, the testimonies from others, Lord, the testimonies in history, and the testimonies, Lord, in our own heart, where the Holy Spirit leads and directs us into the knowledge of the Son of God. And Father, we want to be faithful with the testimonies. So help us, Lord, acknowledge our indifference when we should be excited, so that we would not harden our hearts. Father, give us ears to hear what you're saying when someone else, Lord, is testifying of what you've done, and not to become jealous, not to become fearful, or not to become calloused. Lord, to rejoice with those who rejoice, and to receive the testimony of Jesus that what he did for them, he can do for us. Lord, that our faith would be strengthened, the testimony of our brother and sisters. Lord, and ultimately, that our hearts would be strengthened by the record of your faithfulness, Lord, that you've given us in your word. Father, I believe that wonderful days lie ahead. But Lord, we want to rightly steward that which you've invested in us already. So Holy Spirit, this morning, we thank you for aligning properly on our hearts and our minds to receive the testimony of Jesus, and to give, Lord, the testimony of Jesus. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name for your kingdom and for your glory. Amen. Amen. We got a testimony?
Testimony. You can be seated.
This morning, I thought this was just a reminder from God for me, but as Scott was talking, I knew I had to share this. And 25 years ago, on Easter weekend, I was in Chicago, and I helped chaperone. There was a bunch of youth that they took to Ascension Convention. It was a youth conference that they had every Easter weekend in Chicago. And I had Jessica, who was 15, on one side of me. I had Jacob at 12 on the other side of me. And in that moment, God spoke to me about how he had waited and picked for me to break the generational curses of my family. And that was significant because of the household I grew up in, and looking back, there was a lot of negative stuff in my family. But one of the things he spoke to me was that Jessica's 15 years old. The thought of being a grandfather wasn't in my head at that time. But he spoke to me on that weekend, and he told me, he said, your grandchildren will stand up and worship me and praise me. So as I'm holding the communion elements this morning, hearing my grandchildren.
Oh, that's hilariously good. Oh. So, yeah, sometimes those prophetic words take a little bit of time, but they're worth the wait. Okay, amen. Well, come on, Raj. You know, I dare not say we're done until the testimonies that God wants us to bring forth come forward. So,
just another testimony, but I think it's a good encouragement for people kind of maybe tired of waiting for something. And just thinking this morning about when they were talking about testimonies again, and it was about 2007-2008. I was single, and I was just really asking the Lord, like, what I'm supposed to do with my life. And I was, you know, ready to go to the mission field, and I had gone to Romania in 2007, so then I went back in 2008 by myself to see if that's where the Lord was leading me. It was to the Roma village, and there were a lot of children and stuff. So, and there was a girl that I sponsored there, and I was like, you know, can I maybe adopt her? And, well, they're not open to adoption, and most countries you have to be married to. So, anyway, I had went there, and it was fasting and everything, and it was just like, wasn't hearing anything. Like, what am I supposed to do? And while I was there, I was just really praying, and I was playing with this the director's girl named Isabella, and I don't know, she must have been like 5 or 6 at the time, doing what they like to do, playing house and different things. And I was just like, you know, Lord, what do you have for me? And I just, you know, I didn't hear it audibly, but just this sense of like, you know, you're going to have a girl or something like that, or you're going to have, I'm going to give you a little girl. And I was like, oh, really? So, you know, I'm single, and I was back in like 2008, and you know, how it all work out. But of course, God led me to Amy, which that's the whole story there. Is pretty amazing how we met. And so right now we have 2 children that both have been adopted, and so I wasn't even on my radar. But
yeah.
So that's a good testimony for people need to have patience, and God's working it out. And
Amen.
Well, I got a fun little testimony. So Friday, my daughter Leah, she's in the back with Gabriel. Her husband was on a business trip in Atlanta and with his sister. And Friday, they had a 10:30 a.m. flight to come back to Bloomington. Well, the airlines oversold, like they do. And so he was on the, him and his sister were at the bottom of the list, so it didn't look like they were going to make it till later that afternoon. Well, so one person went ahead and gave up their seat, so Brent, being the wonderful big brother, gave it to his sister. Aww. So she was able to get on her flight, and so I'm talking to Lee, and she goes, we'll pray. I go, well, let's just pray right now. Lord, we just pray for the best outcome. Because you don't know what it is. You really don't. And so, anyway, amen. And so then later on, he was able to get on that flight, that 10:30 a.m. flight. But the thing was, they made him sit in first class. Talk about the best outcome, yes. He said he got free snacks and drinks. His sister's in the back, you know, and coach. He didn't give up that seat, but anyway.
I like that. So I just had my heart stirred this morning to share something. For those who don't know, we have 3 kids. The 2 oldest ones, we had seasons where they were out of communication with us completely. We had no contact with them by their choice, and of course, those are heartbreaking seasons. But in that time, we were on vacation in Florida, and I was walking along a stretch we'd walked a million times, and I found, just drawn down as I was praying to the Lord, a perfect sand dollar. And it was later in the morning, so a lot of people had been there, and that just like never happens. I mean, they're very fragile. The waves come in and crush most of them before they ever make it up there. And again, then people find the ones that actually survive that. But as I picked that up, I felt the Lord say very clearly, as fragile as this is, as much as it had to overcome to make it through the waves, crashing on the shore to get here, to be walked around, to be presented to you, this is my promise for you for the wholeness of your family and restoration. And I'm telling you, it did not look like that. It did not, and it didn't get better the next day or the next week or the next month, but I kept that. I carried it very carefully all the way home, and I held on to that as closely as I could. And through the years, both of our children, the older two, have been restored to us. Grace, our youngest, has been restored to us. That promise that I had to hold so tightly to in the form of that sand dollar has come to fruition. And, you know, today's Father's Day, and that's great for people who have, you know, Hallmark families. I don't like Hallmark much, but we'll leave that out. But, you know, I was raised without a dad. And in our own family, we had seasons where there wasn't harmony in our family. And I just really felt compelled to share, you know, for the dads in here who have children that are separated from you, keep believing the Lord's promises. He is no respecter of persons. That promise, it may take a month, it may take a year, it may take a decade. That's okay. His eternity is so much bigger than our temporal time here on earth, that we've got to quit looking at 80 years and thinking that's the end. He has this all in hand. And if you're separated from your father, you know, I just continue to pray and press into that for reconciliation, because he is the God of reconciliation. Amen. And sometimes days like this are harder for some of us than others, but his promises are for all of us.
Amen.
Go ahead, just pass it along. Thank you.
That's a good story. Yeah. If anyone, Scott's known the Danes forever, and not forever, but way before these promises were fulfilled. That's an awesome story. Yeah, just two things that, you know, when Scott this morning, he said, talking about scripture and stories, when God came to Mary, okay, he talked about that this morning, and Mary, he said, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you and you're going to have a baby supernaturally, okay? You know, she just couldn't make that happen at all. I mean, she said, yes, you know, I come in agreement and I'm your servant and I'm willing and be it unto me as you have said. But she just could not do any of that. No. It's just like, okay, God, like, okay. Yeah. You know, and the Lord has come to many of us and prophesied some pretty outrageous things, you know. And I just want to just have us receive that like Mary did. You know, I'm just completely trusting in God to do what he decided to do in my life before I was even born. What I was called to do, prepared to do, designed to do, specifically before I was even born, with certain gift mixes and certain things, you know, that God knew we would need to fulfill his specific, even though perhaps outrageous, call and assignment, you know. And then Rachel, I quote her, even though you just heard her too, because it was so good. What I was hearing when she was speaking is that there is another executive board.
Yeah, amen.
And they're like really the executive board. And they have prepared a position for you that hasn't been prepared for anyone else ever before either. Okay?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Come on, Ron.
There's I'm a little busted up this morning, so there's a coherent train of thought, so bear with me. As I appreciated Rachel's testimony because it showed her unfaith and what God did with that, you know. So when I was maybe 17, we had this prophet come from New Zealand, a native New Zealander came, and he spoke over me, and he said, he spoke a lot of stuff, but one of the things I remember distinctly was a trainer of young men. And I never had a vision for that, okay? I never had a vision for marriage. I definitely didn't have a vision to be a father, you know? So, but God blessed me with both of those things. And so Blaine, he's been working with me in my business, and he gets frustrated with me. I get frustrated with him. There are days I'm going, man, what were we thinking? You know, him and me both. And he feels the same way. But this morning, as the Garner children were up there, I was like, wow, Lord, you took my unfaith, my unbelief, you've worked with my weakness through me, and my son is training others to worship you, to know you, you know. So praise the Lord.
I'll dovetail on that too, because I was standing here watching that also, and I see Blaine's face. Yeah. It wasn't that long ago. Yeah. Him and Selena were up there singing. Yeah. And I was like, wow, just overwhelmed with God's goodness that the seeds, you know, are going forth. And to see those young kids, that is the next generation. Yeah. You know, we don't have to worry about where the worship leader's coming from. They are coming. They are being trained right now. And a scripture I was feasting on this morning about, you know, just being his peace in his presence and, you know, receiving the gift of that. In Ephesians, it says, glory belongs to God, whose power is at work in us. Amen. His power is at work in us. No matter what we're, you know what I mean? It's working in us. We don't even aware sometimes. And by this power, he could do infinitely more than we ask or imagine. Okay? We just ask so little sometimes and imagine, like, well, I don't know if I could be like that. And I remember Chris got saved before I did and got surrendered and was really living for, Chris is my brother, whoever does not know that. And we're close in age. I'm 2 years older than him. And we got saved around the same time. And he surrendered sooner than I did. And I would look at his life and go, oh, I just don't know if I could do that, live like that. I mean, I got my toe here and I got my toe here. World, church, God, you know. So anyway, I look back at that and I love the thing about the testimonies, by the power of the testimony. And they didn't love their lives in Revelations, it says, so much that they weren't afraid to share it. You know, sometimes we're afraid to share it. But God's, his power is just amazing. I look back and I thought, I don't know if I could live like that, you know. But God's power that overcame in me and put people around me, and as I learned how to obey and surrender, that I, you know, no longer, you know, who knew? I didn't know that he would be drawing me out of the darkness. I didn't even know I was in the darkness. I thought, you know, my life was pretty great. But then the darkness was overwhelming and becomes sadness and doesn't promise what you think it's going to promise. And that I would be, you know, delivered from my flesh and all the chains that were around me and the bondage. And someone shared one time, Dean Niferatis, about it was like the chains, these chains around. It was just a visual thing I could see, and that the power of the blood, his power would just release those chains. And I imagined that, like, the sins are like fish hooks, you know what I mean, that would be in us, in me, you know, and that when the enemy gets a hook in us, he doesn't want to let go. And it tried to, Jude, you had a hook in your finger once. You could not get it out yourself, could you? You had to go get it removed. Yeah, and the only power and physician that can remove the hook of sins and bondage in our life is Jesus. And and he delivered me from so much. And the Lord spoke to me too. I didn't realize this, but that before I even got married, Ron, and had children, that, you know, I would learn about generational curses, and they would be broken off. So my children would not have to live in the generational curses that were on me, and they're broken off. And then here, not too long ago, I forget who it was, but he was coming around and praying for people, and he came and he prayed. No, I think it was the guy who is the child who was sick. I think it was Richie, and he came over and he was praying. And he goes, and the root generational curses are broken off. The root. And that's what I proclaim. It is broken off. My children will not be in bondage to these generational curses. I proclaim it right now, Jesus' name. And all my grandchildren, my kids are going to live for Christ. And they will not be in bondage. I proclaim that right now, in Jesus' name. And I thank God for deliverance. That I could be free and be married to a Christian man who is a godly father to my children. And I'm so thankful for that.
Amen. Praise God. Savannah has a testimony.
So most of you know that I'm going to go to Africa in August. And last week we were coming home from Georgia and Tennessee. And I just felt like I have so many things I need to prepare for. I have a lot of money that I need to save up for different things. And I was like, and I don't have that, like, coming in, but I had faith. I was like, I know that God can supply that. He has all the money in the world, and he can supply that. He can supply my needs. And so came home, and my neighbor, who I cleaned for, she goes, hey, this other friend, and she's overwhelmed. She has all these kids, and she needs somebody to clean for her. And so I was like, well, there's another job. Yeah. And then she goes, and I'm overwhelmed, so I need somebody to babysit for me, too. Yeah. And, so, yeah. And she's like, once a week, you know, on Wednesdays. So that was just amazing for me. And I was also frightened, like, okay, I want to be professional when I go to get this other cleaning job. And it was amazing. The lady was just so fast and, like, on point that everything just went so smoothly. And I was just, like, went out jumping and, like, yeah, yay! Yeah, yeah. Like, that was amazing, Lord. And just my faith level went amen. Sky high.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Steve.
Being as it is Father's Day and I have my daughter here, I'll give a little healing testimony. Grace is 9 years old, and she was born with the umbilical cord wrapped around her neck, and she was without air for 20 minutes. She was born here at St. John's Hospital in Springfield, and Dr. Kana, the best doctor, baby doctor in Springfield at the time, was there. And I was told I could go down to see her, but she probably would not be leaving. And so I went down to see her, and I went alone, and I went into the room, and I just stood praying and asking God to heal my little girl. And I left and went back to the room, and the next day, three nurses came to her mother's room and started questioning her and said, last night, Steve came down, and he brought a man with him. And we wondered if you knew who the man was. And she asked me about it, and I said, no, I was alone. And she asked what the man looked like. And they described him as being tall, distinguished, well-dressed, and very quiet. And they said, what did they do? And she said, well, we watched the two of them. This was two nurses and this doctor. Watched the two of them come down the hall, go into the baby's room. Steve went up to the crib, and the other man just stood behind him like he was reassuring him, and we thought maybe it was your pastor.
It was.
And she asked me about it, and I said, well, I was alone. And the nurse said, look, we know what we saw. And I said, well, you saw an angel. And here is Grace.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, is your faith strengthened today? Yeah, John. Praise God. God intervened and had him pray for his son, spared his life. Okay, one more time. Stand with me if you will. Let's just praise God. Let's just thank him as we go today. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Jesus as the spirit of prophecy, Lord. And we expect more testimonies, Lord, as we turn our faith towards you. Lord, as we turn our eyes on you, God, and we ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, what you're saying and doing, that we could testify, that we could be empowered, that we could receive, Lord, all that you have for us, Lord, in being witnesses for Christ in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're beautiful. Have a great week and a happy Father's Day.